Gino Camilleri.
Going for it all into the end zone, and it is caught. Alshon Jeffrey for the touchdown.
You are listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your team every day. I am your host, Gino Camilleri, riding solo on this Victory Monday as the Philadelphia Eagles come off a victory against their division foes, the New York Giants, with a 25-22 win at Lincoln Financial Field to bring the record to 5-6 on the season. Not where many of us thought they would be. I thought they'd be closer to maybe 10-1, 9-2, as I had a future on them to go back to the Super Bowl. I thought they were on track to get home field advantage again. I thought their roster was better than it was last year. But as life goes, there's highs and lows, and we know how that goes, especially with these Philadelphia Eagles this season. And frankly, this team stepped up in the biggest moment all season. Yes, there were some big moments against the Dallas Cowboys, late in the Titans game, late in the Panthers game, but this was basically a do or die. Their playoff chances would have been near depleted if this did not come out in their favor. And frankly, the leadership group stepped up when they needed to. Malcolm Jenkins, he said it during the week. People have to be held accountable, and you know what? He held himself accountable, and he made a play in the biggest moment late in that first half when they needed something to go their way before the Giants put more points on them and almost put this game out of reach. He stepped up and made a pick. Yes, it was a bad throw by Eli, but he still made it. We've seen that interceptions are not surefire. You look at that Dallas game with Camus, who had the club on his hand at the time. He could have had a pick six, changed that entire outlook of the game and the division for that matter. But when they needed to play the most, Malcolm Jenkins stepped up and did it. Look at Cravon LeBlanc late in the game. He stepped up. Carson Wentz and Nelson Agholor on that fourth down play when they needed it the most stepped up. All in all, this team stepped up. They stepped in the right direction. They're getting back to where they need to be because, frankly, it's do or die time. It's put up or shut up. It's put everything on the table. Push your cards all in because there's no going back now. You have five games remaining, and so does the rest of your division. You're one game behind both the Redskins and Dallas. You're behind in the tiebreaker against the Cowboys. You have two games against the Redskins. And frankly, this is it. You look at teams that have had bad division records and how far back it set them. I mean, look at the Eagles the first year under Doug Peterson. They were 1-5 in that division. If they split that, they're close to the playoffs. I mean, last year, they're 5-1. We'll just look at it 5-0 because they already had home field advantage wrapped up at the point they played the Cowboys for the second time. But that's when things matter, is in the division. You're 2-1 right now. You have to come out and win these next three division games. You're home against the Skins on Monday Night Football. The Cowboys are playing the Saints on Thursday night. You're going to have 4 days to prepare for a do-or-die game against Colt McCoy. And frankly, if you can't come out and beat Colt McCoy, you have zero business being in the playoffs. You have zero business competing against the Rams. You have zero business competing against the Saints, as we've already seen in this year. But look at the rest of the NFC. You can beat anybody. They almost beat the Panthers. The Saints was a very bad game. You know you may not be able to compete against them, but who knows when you get to the playoffs. That's just what it is. Did anybody think that Nick Foles was going to lead them and win three games against three of the better teams in the NFC? Or two of the better teams in the NFC and the Patriots to win a Super Bowl? No. And that's all it takes is a chip and a chair. I'm a big hockey fan, and one of the big proponents of the NHL is just get in. You look back a couple years ago when the LA Kings, they were an 8 seed. They ran through the Western Conference and ran through the Stanley Cup Finals. That's all it takes is to get into the playoffs. You look back a couple years ago with the beast mode run with Marshawn Lynch against the Saints. They barely got in. I think they had maybe a 7-9 or 8-8 record that year, Seattle, to get in, and they upset the Saints, who had a very good team. So that's all it takes. You just have to get in one way or another, and this division is not out of reach by any means. You are going back to Lincoln Financial Field against Washington on Monday Night Football. This It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. You have to win that game. And then if the Cowboys lose, you're playing for the division lead that following Sunday, an America's Game of the Week, where we have to listen to another Cowboy call an Eagles game. But you know what? Frankly, this team is going to be out for blood against the Cowboys. They knew they should have never lost that game. It's the biggest rivalry, in my opinion, in the NFL. These teams hate each other. And for a team that has Dak Prescott at the helm, I'm frankly not worried about them in any fashion. Yes, their defense is good. Yes, Amari Cooper's had some big plays, but look at how he had that big catch and run against the Redskins. Ha ha, Clinton Dix basically forgot how to tackle. And they went on to absolutely rout that Colt McCoy team. So if you can settle down, game plan, come out hot against the Redskins, really get things going and have that game that you've been needing to have since that first Giants game, an absolute domination. It has to happen. You can't have these slow starts. It just cannot continue to happen. When you're averaging under 2 points a game in the first quarter throughout the year, that's terrible. That's just unheard of, especially after last year when the Eagles basically scored on every single first possession that they had. It was bound to be a touchdown. Carson Wentz would just drive them right down the field and score. It was death taxes and the Eagles scoring on the first drive. It was pretty impressive. But this year, it's death taxes and the Eagles having a 3-and-out on the first drive. We've seen it time and time again. They have to flip the script sooner or later. They flipped the script this game. Yes, a lot of the media said they didn't have a chance against the Giants. I frankly didn't think they had the biggest chance, but in these division games, anything can happen. They were down 16 points, and they come storming back to win. And the Giants, they weren't just rolling over. These division games matter. I mean, coaches do, they live and die on these division games. Look at the Browns. Their last 6 head coaches, I think, have been fired after that second Steelers game. It's because these division games are valued so much higher than any other game. Look at in the college ranks. John Harbaugh, he's great coach, in my opinion. He took a team to the Super Bowl. But he cannot beat Ohio State, and that's what Michigan fans worry about. They're 10-2 this season. They've had great winning seasons in the past, but they can't beat their rival. And soon Harbaugh's going to be out the door for that reason in particular. And Doug Peterson, you're not going to get fired, but your seat's going to heat up a little bit if you can't come out and win these next 3 division games. You have 2 games against Colt McCoy. Just think about that. 2 games against Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy is a free victory by any stretch of the imagination. When you have Carson Wentz, who's arguably a top 10 quarterback at all points throughout this season, in my opinion, going up against a guy who can't even break the ranks as a starter, who's been a very subpar starter in the starts that he has had, you have to come out and absolutely destroy them. And a team who's had defensive woes like the Washington Redskins, who's had injury woes all along that offensive line, you need to come out and absolutely dominate. The best part of their offense is a 30-some-odd-year-old Adrian Peterson. That's not how the NFL works nowadays. You can't get by sufficiently with a running game with a 30-plus-year-old running back and wide receivers who your best wide receiver, Paul Richardson, is out for the season. The Eagles have to win this division, and it's going to start Monday night. Let's just run through the rest of the schedules for these 3 teams. Eagles, you're at home against Washington, then you travel to Dallas, you travel to the Rams, you're playing Houston, and then you're at Washington on the last game of the year, which will probably get flexed to Sunday Night Football if I've known football that well. The Redskins, they play the Eagles. Hopefully that's a loss for them. They play the Giants, who, frankly, right now, I think they can beat the Redskins. At the rate they played against the Eagles in the first half, if they can replicate that against the Skins, I think they could come out and beat them. They play the Jaguars, who are a middling team who really have something to prove late in the season if Doug Marrone wants to keep his job. Then they go to Tennessee. It's not going to be an easy game. We saw that in Philadelphia, what happens there if you break down late against them. And then the last game, like I said, is against the Eagles. The Cowboys, on the other hand, they have to go into New Orleans on Thursday night. Man, oh man, that's going to be a rough time for them. I think Drew Brees is just on a collision course for that Super Bowl. He's taken out anything in his path, much like the Eagles did last year. The Cowboys should be an easy test for them. Then they play against Philadelphia Eagles, should be playing for the division lead then. They've got to go play the Colts, who right now, they're one of the hottest teams in football. They've been scoring at an astronomical rate Frank Reich, what he's done over there with Andrew Luck and minimal weapons on that offense, he's really solidified that offensive line, finally figured out that if Andrew Luck doesn't get hurt, he's a top-notch quarterback, and they're rolling. Tampa Bay has a lot to play for again late in the year. Who knows who's going to be playing quarterback? Jameis is going to want to solidify himself as a starter there. And Dirk Koetter, his seat is hotter than most coaches in the NFL right now, so he's going to need that victory. And then they play the Giants, who we don't need to harp on it anymore. They like to play division rivals tough, so you can get by with this division being 8-8. But you have to win these last three division games. Would it be nice to steal a game against the Rams or Houston? Absolutely. Do I think Carson Wentz is going to want to have that revenge game for having his ACL shattered in Los Angeles, going back to the same place at the scene of the crime? Oh, I absolutely do. But do I expect them to win? No. Houston right now, they're hotter than anybody. I don't expect that to be a victory. So to get to eight wins, you have to win three division games, and it all starts Monday night. So after the break, we're going to get into a little bit of stock up, stock down for this last past Sunday against the Giants. Who really came out on top after this team victory, I'd like to say? I don't think anybody really took the control of the game. It was from head to toe, Doug Peterson, Jim Schwartz, down to Cravon LeBlanc, like I said before. Everybody stepped up when it mattered. So we'll get into that after the break. But before the break, I'd like to talk to you guys about MyBookie. You know, ever since I started the podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this weekend. Truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. I know me and Louie have accounts, and who knows if we've been doing good or bad. We won't expose that information, but we love MyBookie. So that's why I'm telling you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have great in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each week. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar by using promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and do not forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit up to 100% on your first $1,000, so hey, get there, get some free money, and go make some money. Go MyBookie.com. Welcome on back, everybody, to the second segment of this November 26th edition on this Victory Monday of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Gino Camilleri, and let's get into the stock up section of this game. I thought, all in all, first half, nobody really excelled, besides maybe Malcolm Jenkins in that final play, but when things finally settled in, there were some real players in this game, and my first stock up has got to go to Josh Adams. Man, me and Lou have been buying his stock since before the season started. He is the hottest running back on this team. Like I said yesterday, I do not think he has the skill set to be a feature back, but he's a great complimentary back. I mean, you look at him right now, he's starting to get some of those downhill runs like a LeGarrette Blount and a Jay Ajayi got for you last year. And with Wendell Smallwood, man, you could just toss him out the window. You could cut him for all I care. He should never see the field again after the performance Josh Adams put up, especially with Corey Clement finally finding his niche role. Josh Adams got 22 carries. He was able to remain hot, and he was a hot hand, and that was the thing this team needed to do, is finally settle in, feed the hot hand in the running game, let Carson throw for less than 40 times, which we all know the statistics there, which he needs to do to be successful. And you finally have a guy in Josh Adams who you can rely on. I mean, that big run he had earlier in the game, which was called back by Jason Kelce holding, that was the most electric thing we've seen out of the backfield all year. You want to see that continue. Going into Washington, this is going to be a big game to get him going so you can start to bring down their safeties, expose a guy like HaHa Clinton-Dix, who is subpar in the run game. The reason I've been saying that is I've been studying for the Scouting Academy the past couple days, and he can really be taken advantage of. He does not like contact, so get Josh Adams grooving up the field, get Carson Wentz into a rhythm, and I really think this run game can start to get these 100-yard rushing games, which they've been lacking in the all season. frankly, and they really need it to get into these late months where it's going to be cold. You're going to have to pound out these wins. You're going to have to win late in games, and the running game really is a part of that. And Josh Adams, stock up to you. I'm buying the stock, all of it. I'm putting all my cash on Josh Adams right now. Stock up number two, Kamu Grugier-Hill. I thought a big worry for a lot of people after Jordan Hicks went down is who's going to stop Saquon. They weren't able to stop him to the extent that you would like. The run game, the run defense matter was not to its fullest potential, but somebody who stepped up big, in my opinion, is Kamu. He's consistently been around the ball. He plays very fast. And for a guy who has been all special teams in his career up until this season, the role that he's settled into has been very, very impressive, I'd have to say. Let's look at his stat line to finish. He finished with 7 total tackles, 6 solo, and 2 tackles for loss. And that game-clinching trip, we'll say, that wasn't called. But that was huge. The Eagles, they've been known to give away yardage in those sticks defense-type scenarios. So who know what would have happened if Kamu didn't come downhill fast. I saw a couple plays of the All-22. He is just electric when he gets that first step on a defender. He's a sure tackler. He's not afraid of contact. And he just makes plays all over the field. And if Jordan Hicks is out for any extended period of time, which hopefully he is not and hopefully he is back, I'm fine with Kamu in that role. I think he needs to get on the field more. I'd like to see Corey Graham off the field. Hopefully they could keep playing base a little bit more with Bradham, Hicks, and Kamu once Hicks is back. But I like what I saw out of these linebackers. In total, they had 14 tackles, and that's exactly what they needed to do since that the defensive line was not getting it done in the run game. They were getting gashed by Saquon early. Even Wayne Gallman had some big runs. So to see Kamu settle in, take that role for his own, it was very impressive in my eyes. I can't wait to go back and see the All-22 and see the actual advantage that he created for this Eagles defense, because he was very impressive in my opinion. So the final stock up is Dallas Goedert and the 12 or 13 personnel, as the Eagles like to run. Time and time again on Eagles Twitter, people are harping for them to get into the 12 personnel. And a big thing when Golden Tate was brought into town was, how are they going to do that? Are they going to fade away from the 12 personnel that they've been so successful with? And you've seen that. They've gone away from it. But this game, I think they settled into that 12 personnel more, even 13 personnel. Richard Rodgers got some snaps out there. They really settled in and used that to their advantage. I mean, Dallas Goedert, as a rookie, is light years beyond what Zach Ertz was in the department of blocking. If you can let Zach Ertz win some of those blocks and go pass catch, and then Dallas Goedert the same thing, or bring them both into pass protect and run protect, you can really get things going. You saw how dominant they were when they had max protect in. Josh Adams found holes. That's it. That's where he excels, is finding big holes, one cut up the seam, and that's exactly what they need to do. As long as Goedert can seal the edge, Zach Ertz can seal the edge, they're fine. And look at what he did in the pass game. He only had 3 for 33, but he's still making a difference. It's a matchup nightmare when you have to bring down another safety to guard Dallas Goedert, when guarding Zach Ertz one-on-one is hard enough. And then you throw in guys like Elshon and Nelson and Golden Tate, even though they're not creating the separation that they should be, they're still making plays. So to have those two tight end sets, hopefully they can continue to develop into almost a Gronk/Hernandez-type duo as years to come. It's going to be very promising, and it's going to be on Doug Peterson's shoulders to keep them in this reliant 12 personnel, to help them get the run game going, help them get the pass game going, and ultimately, at the end of the day, keep Carson Wentz healthy, because he's still getting hit too much. And I didn't put him in my stock up just because his stock is always high for me. I will critique him at times, but he has been, who knows where this team would be without Carson Wentz. But to keep him healthy, to have a sure blocker like Dallas Goedert on the edge is very impressive. He's stock up number three, in my opinion. So after the break, we will get back to it with our stock down. And the few weak performances that we saw, there wasn't too many bad individual performances, but in this team win, there were some down spots that we're going to look at after the break. So come on back. Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of this Victory Monday edition of Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, and to start it off, Stock down number one. For a third round pick, you would expect this gentleman to perform better, and that's Golden Tate. Yes, he did lead the team in targets and receptions in the Saints game, but this game, he just didn't really make a difference, and I don't put this onus on him. He is doing what this coaching staff is telling him to do. He's in on there, getting the wide receiver screens on 3 and 13 when there's no right for that to happen. He's getting in space. He's just not having the production, which he should. For an offense who has as many weapons and can create as many mismatches as this Philadelphia team, they really are not using Golden Tate how they should be. And like I said in this prior segment, mind you, 12 personnel is where they excel. They've been running a ton of 11 personnel, taking targets away from Alshon, who's been dominant all year long, taking targets away from Ertz, taking targets away from all the other pass catchers, just because they're trying to force Golden Tate into this offense. And if they can't find a solid role for him in these next couple games, it's going to be a wasted pick. It's going to be a waste. There's no other way to say it. I hate to put it that way, but if he doesn't start to get going, a lot of people are going to question Howie Roseman more than they already are. And in a year that you're going to have a big free agent class leaving, and you solely, frankly, don't have the cap space to continually sign free agents, that third round pick is going to come in huge. So let's hope that Golden Tate gets things going. He really didn't have a great effort in the Giants game, but I don't put that much on him. I put that more on Mike Groh and the guys designing the plays than Golden Tate. But let's hope he gets going. So he was stock down number one. Stock down number two, I'm going to give it to Jordan Hicks, not because he played in the game, but because he didn't play in the game. Like I said, I loved how Camus played. Jordan Hicks is in a contract year. People have been questioning this linebacking core the last couple games, even though they shouldn't be. They're subject to a lot of mismatches, and Jordan Hicks, he needs to be on the field to garner a big deal. And if you have three key free agents, Darby, Graham, and Hicks, and you're going to have to make a decision. With the way Camus played, maybe he's expendable. I don't know. That's looking down the line, but for Camus to come out and lead, be second in tackles only behind Corey Graham and be right above Nigel Bradham in tackles, that's huge. And if they're going to have to go cheaper at some positions, maybe that's a position they look at, because you have Nigel Bradham locked up on a team-friendly deal right now. Who knows what Jordan Hicks is going to ask for in this offseason? So if he doesn't get on the field and really solidify his role on this team, it could be Camus Grugier-Hill taking that role next season, so we'll see where that goes. But after not being on the field yesterday, he takes a hit. And for the final stock down, another wide receiver, Jordan Matthews. I liked what I've seen out of him all year, but frankly, there's no room to put him on the field, and it's really unfortunate because you've seen at times that Wentz relies on him in some third down situations. He's came up big. There's been a couple of drives that would have ended if it wasn't for him gaining separation. I like what I've seen on him from the outside, but frankly, he just was not on the field. He saw, I think, 14 snaps, which is 15%, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So it wasn't the greatest showing by Jordan Wentz. He really made zero impact on the team. You would like to see him get involved a little more, but you just can't give him any credit for not really getting involved. And once again, I don't think that's on him. I think this offensive coaching staff really deserves the most stock down, in my opinion, but we've already been hard on them throughout the year. They really need to get things going. And to leave you on this note, the reason this Eagles team was so successful last season is because they came out so hot. They came out creating mismatches. They create out doing these RPOs, which teams were just so flustered by, they really couldn't defend them. This season, they just don't have that. You saw it in the second half of this game, but up until then, when was the last time you saw a 2017 Eagles drive in this 2018 team? Not many times. That last drive where they worked the clock down from 5 minutes, and the drive prior to that where they took that ball right down the field and scored points when they needed it the most. They schemed guys open. They ran a lot of those mesh sits, which they love to run in the Super Bowl. So did the Patriots. They just have to get back to that. And one thing I'm going to leave you Eagles fans to ponder is, I know teams are saying that college offenses aren't going to be successful, but let's look at reality. That's what the majority of these teams are now. Look at the Rams. Look at the Chiefs. They're running these air raid spread style offense. Look at the 2017 Eagles. John DeFilippo brought that spread style to this offense. Look at the Colts now under Frank Reich. They're using a lot of that spread concepts. Keep a lookout for college coaches that are getting fired. Cliff Kingsbury is one name that rings a bell, and many Eagles fans, if the opportunity arises to get him on this staff, I would totally be all game for it, because frankly, this offense, this team, they're stagnant this year. Let's just say that. And to be a great team in the NFL is to have the ability to adapt. So I think a big part of the reason they're so stagnant at this current point in time is because they don't have anybody outside of the organization that they brought in this year to give them new and fresh ideas. The first 2 years, they were really implementing Frank Reich and John DeFilippo and Press Taylor and Mike Groh, and all these guys brought new and innovative ideas, but what have you really seen? I mean, you could really look at this Eagles team and say on 3rd and 9, they're going to run a screen, regardless if it's a wide receiver screen or a screen to the running back. And frankly, they need to pick up in that department. They need to pick it up in the red zone. So as the season continues, as we get later in the year, we're going to see how this offense finishes, if they can bring in new ideas. But this is a discussion for a later date. But as college season is coming down to the close, keep a lookout for some offensive-minded coaches that could be a nice fit for this staff. Cliff Kingsbury, Texas Tech, you saw what he did with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he got him drafted 10th overall by Andy Reid, who is arguably the greatest quarterback developer in the NFL. So if he can scheme a guy like Patrick Mahomes to get drafted at 10 in an offense that, frankly, had zero pro style to it, I'm all game for bringing in a guy who can really change things up. So let's hope this Eagles offense can change things up, get things going right out of the gate, start hot against the Washington Redskins, and really lean on what they did in the second half against the Giants and get a big division victory, go into Dallas, go into Jerry Ruled, and really rain on their parade and take first place in this division within 2 weeks. You got to have a couple things roll your way, and hopefully they start rolling the Eagles' way. So for this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, finally, I am your host, Gino Camilleri. Thank you for tuning in. You could find me, as always, on Twitter, at @Gino_LOE, at Locked On Birds, and at @DiBiase_LOE. So thank you, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. So fly, Eagles, fly.